wandered through tunnels. "In here," the guard said, motioning them into a large office space that had been converted to a clinic. Medical supplies filled shelves, and a few empty cots acted as hospital beds. A young man sat on the ground sorting through a box of bandages. He looked up in surprise when they entered, his eyes darting back and forth between the guard and Derek's battered face.
"Can I help you?"
he asked, getting to his feet.
"Get them what they need,"
the guard ordered and left. Stepping forward, the young man said, "I'm the medic here. What can I do?"
"I'm Dr. Chris," Kaylee said, smiling. "I'll take care of him. Could I get some water and maybe a clean shirt?"
The young man nodded vigorously. "We've got water here," he said, pointing to an industrial sink in the corner.
"And I'll see what I can find for extra clothes."
He rushed off to do Kaylee's bidding. Kaylee led Derek to a cot and gently pushed him down onto it. He grabbed her by the hand and pulled her next to him.
"I thought I'd lost you. I knew the Drakkarans took you alive, but I was so afraid I'd be too late."
He brushed a wisp of blonde hair off her face. She put her head on his chest, and he held her.
"I knew you would try to find me, but I didn't think you would, especially when I realized I was on Mira," she said, her voice catching. "I would never have stopped looking."
She held his gaze.
"I know. Are you okay?" he asked.
When the Nivali made a deep empathic connection with someone, like Kaylee had with him, it was intimate and permanent. He felt her, and he knew she wasn't okay. She touched his face and avoided the question.
"You're a mess."
"It probably looks worse than it feels," he said. She got up, filled a basin with water, and deftly gathered supplies. He watched her graceful movements as she familiarized herself with the space. At home, anywhere healing took place.
"Where are we? Do you know?"
"Underground," she replied. "The subway system on Mira is extensive, but the Drakkarans don't use it. This branch of the MLA hides down here, and Ezra's unit is in a blown-out factory complex."
"How coordinated are the groups?" Derek asked.
"They communicate and know how to find one another, but they have their own objectives. Reyna's group is more aggressive. I think they've actually attacked the Drakkarans. Ezra gathers information and hides people on the run."
"You've become quite the intelligence agent."
"I learned from the best," Kaylee said, giving him a small smile as she sat back down and gently dabbed his face with a wet cloth.
"How did you find this group?"
"We heard about the MLA, too, and thought they might be our best chance for gathering intel about you. We followed a contact of Drew's and ended up here." When Kaylee had finished washing away the dried blood, she put her hands on his cheeks and closed her eyes. He felt the warm, familiar tingling of her mind working to heal his body.
"The bruising will fade on its own," she said once she'd finished.
He took her hands in his and kissed them.
"I feel better already."
At that moment, the medic returned with a clean pile of clothing. He glanced between the two of them, placed the clothes on the cot next to Derek, and scurried off again.
"I'd kill for a shower," Derek said under his breath as he pulled his filthy shirt over his head.
"How long have you been here?" Kaylee asked, handing him the clean one.
"We've been on Mira for about 3 weeks, but I've only been locked up down here for a couple of days."
"Drew's with you."
"And Kat. And Sean Asher, the agent we worked with on Alista. Speaking of Kat, she's probably climbing the walls right now," he smiled as he tapped his comm.
Kaylee, Chapter 13. When Drew joined Kaylee and Derek in the infirmary, Kaylee threw her arms around him in a fierce embrace.
"I've missed you too," he said, smiling.
He didn't look any worse for wear, but Kaylee insisted on giving him a quick exam. Reyna made an appearance and invited the three of them to share a meal in her private quarters. Although the gesture seemed friendly enough, Kaylee could feel the tension and suspicion still radiating from the woman. Ezra accompanied them, his calm presence reassuring.
"Ezra, thank you," Kaylee said.
Through his communication networks, Ezra had learned that Reyna's MLA unit was looking for intel on an off-world prisoner, a doctor. He'd come to Kaylee with the information, and, with Ezra's assurance of protection, Kaylee had agreed to meet with the other group.
"I'm glad you found each other," he answered, placing a gentle hand on her shoulder and nodding toward Derek.
From the way Derek and Drew attacked their food, Kaylee knew they hadn't had much to eat in the last couple of days. She glared at Raina, who shifted uncomfortably in her chair.
"Why didn't you tell me who you were right away?" Raina asked Derek.
He paused and carefully lowered his fork.
"Because the Alliance surrendered this world to the Drakkarans. I had no idea if my real identity as an Alliance soldier would get me shot. If anyone has the right to be angry, it's the people still fighting here. But I also knew you'd be my best chance at obtaining useful information."
"To find Dr. Chris?"
"Yes."
"Why did the Drakkarans take her?"
Derek glanced at Kaylee, who put a gentle hand on his leg under the table and sent a thought to him.
"My world recently fought a bloody civil war. It's still vulnerable, but we've sorted ourselves out enough to petition the Alliance for full membership and protection. I was on my way to Corleone to formally accept when my ship was attacked by the Drakkarans."
"Kaylee was co-leader of the transitional government," Derek took over, "and before that, a major player in the resistance movement that overthrew the dictatorship. She has sensitive, tactical information about her world that the Drakkarans could use to their advantage. They're going after vulnerable planets in their territory grab."
"The Alliance is still fighting, then?"
"Staying ahead of the Drakkarans and protecting our member worlds has become our primary focus," Derek answered.
Kaylee felt Raina's curiosity when she turned to her and asked,
"How did you escape Drakkaran custody?"
Kaylee stiffened, and Derek reached for her hand.
"Not easily. But I am a medical doctor by training, and you know the Drakkarans are sick," Kaylee said, choosing her words carefully.
Raina nodded.
"I offered to help one of them. Over time, he lowered his guard enough for me to escape."
From Raina's expression, Kaylee knew she'd hoped for more detail, but the other woman read Kaylee's tone and didn't pursue the subject.
Raina turned back to Derek. "You've found Dr. Chris. Now what?"
"I'd like my other two teammates to meet us here tomorrow."
Even without her empathic sensitivity, Kaylee knew Raina bristled at Derek's authoritative tone. She felt the other woman struggling with the discomfort, but in the end, Raina nodded in agreement.
"Of course. We'll arrange their safe passage. I'm sure you're tired. I'll have someone show you around. It's a bit of a maze down here," Raina said, standing.
Derek politely thanked her for dinner. Kaylee, glancing at Derek's bruised face, offered only a frosty good night. Kaylee curled her body around Derek's, needing to be as close to him as possible. They'd been given a cot in a relatively private corner of the room. The extensive underground facilities included the rail lines themselves, but also storage areas, warehouses, offices, and recreational space for the workers who spent large chunks of time underground. The MLA had divided the space up as functionally as they could to accommodate their ranks. Derek had, in fact, gotten to take a shower. Kaylee inhaled his soapy smell, burying her head in his neck. They both wanted more, but desperate as they were, neither could ignore the bodies sleeping on the other side of the storage shelf. Careful of his still healing face, Kaylee leaned up on her elbow and kissed him. In the dark, she couldn't see his expression, but her mind was open to his, and she felt his angst.
"What did they do to you, Kaylee?" he asked.
She knew the question had been on his mind since the moment he saw her.
"There's so much I need to tell you, but..."
Her voice faltered. She couldn't speak some of the things aloud.
"Show me," he said gently, pulling her against his chest.
"Are you sure?"
she whispered.
"If I could take away your pain, or suffer it myself instead, I would. But I can't do that, so at least let me carry this with you. Please," he urged.
She didn't want him to endure any more of her trauma, but she understood his need to.
"I woke up in a cell, disoriented. They ran tests.
Her words trailed off as she linked her mind to his in the most intimate way possible. She remembered her panic at being cut off from her gift entirely, and the absolute terror and near madness she felt when it was amplified.
"I killed someone, Derek," she whispered.
She felt his concern rush outward in a wave.
"Oh, Kaylee, I was so scared. I had to get away."
"It wasn't your fault," he whispered, soothing her with his own mind.
"She's still dead."
"I know," he said, and Kaylee knew he understood firsthand the terrible weight of taking a life.
"They turned you into a weapon. It wasn't your fault," he repeated.
She felt herself spiraling inward, her entire body responding to the memory.
"Breathe, Kaylee," he said.
So many times he'd pulled her back from the darkness, lurking in her own mind. She held on to him now, linking her breath to his, her heartbeat to his, until she fought her way back. She kept her hand on his warm chest, and he stroked her hair.
"There's something else. Tell me," he coaxed.
"The Dracarans." She stopped. The thought sickened her to her very core. She didn't want to say it.
"Kaylee, whatever it is, we'll deal with it," he said.
Taking a breath, she spoke.
"The Dracarans are dying. We were right about that. They invade worlds for both resources and people, trying to cure themselves. But when I questioned Daksha Karan on Tharsis, he knew who I was, because the Dracarans never lost their history. They knew they were the coveted result of a genetic experiment. They knew they'd fought a war and lost. They knew they had to flee their home world and rebuild themselves."
Derek's embrace tightened around her.
"The Dracarans are the original Nevali, the ones designed to be the next step in human evolution."
She fell silent, allowing Derek to process the information. As her mind lingered next to his, she was surprised by his lack of surprise.
"When we found those old records on Almagest, it crossed my mind that their modified traits sounded a lot like the Dracarans. High intelligence, ruthlessness, physical prowess. I didn't give it much thought, though, because it was such ancient history."
He paused, rubbing a thumb across her wet cheek.
"It doesn't make a difference who they are or where they came from. They have no claim to your world anymore, and your people are nothing like them."
"Derek, my DNA has the same genetic biomarkers as Karan's, only mine are healthy. My people may have been an undesirable side effect of that experiment, but I think we hold the key to saving the Dracarans. They don't just want us as weapons. They need us to heal them."
Her panic began to rise.
"Derek, we have to get off this planet and warn Almagest."
He ran a hand soothingly over her back.
"They're already on alert. As soon as I saw the cockpit video feed from the Carina, I knew it was the Dracarans who'd taken you, and I assumed they'd targeted you specifically because Karan knew about your gift."
Some of the tension in Kaylee's body eased.
"Her people knew there was a threat. They'd be paying attention, even if they didn't understand the full measure of that threat. The Alliance would help protect them now, too."
She allowed herself a moment's relief before linking her mind with Derek's again.
"I need to show you something else," she said,
and shared an image of Navi, first pale and in pain with his arm broken, and later as a serious but sweet little boy arranging his blocks on the kitchen floor.
"I lived with this boy, took care of him, rocked him to sleep. He's Karan's son."
Derek leaned his head back on the pillow. Kaylee felt his emotions churning, and it was several moments before he spoke again.
"They invaded this planet, took what didn't belong to them, started a war that's lasted a generation. We've had to do things. I've had to do things because of this war."
His voice trailed off.
"I know," she whispered.
She had nothing to offer him as they held each other in the dark.
Derek, Chapter 14.
The next morning, Derek sent Drew off with a small group of Reyna's men to meet up with Kat and Sean and lead them back to the hideout. When Kat arrived, she went straight to Kaylee and pulled her into an enthusiastic hug.
"Are you okay?" she asked. "As okay as everyone else," Kaylee answered.
Kat looked over at Derek, whose face still displayed a colorful array of purple bruises, and raised her eyebrows.
"That doesn't reassure me."
"I've missed you, Kat," Kaylee said.
"Back at you.
What's on the agenda for today?"
"We're meeting with Reyna and Ezra to talk."
"Good," Kat said.
"Kaylee, this is Sean Asher," Derek said, gesturing at the agent. "We work together on Alista, and he's been on mission with us here."
Kaylee smiled at Sean, and Derek caught him staring at her just a fraction of a second too long before he composed himself and smiled back. When Derek had first met Kaylee, he'd been enchanted by her too. It was more than just the physical attraction, although that had been there from the start. People were naturally drawn to her. The Nivali had a compelling quality about them, one Derek suspected was related to their empathic nature. When Kaylee focused on someone, she listened to them with her whole being.
"Thank you for trying to bring Nysa home," Kaylee said.
Derek had hated telling Kaylee about Nysa. It was one more loss to add to her heartbreakingly long list.
"I'm sorry it ended so badly," Sean answered, looking away.
A puzzled look passed over Kaylee's face, but before Derek was even sure he'd seen it, it had disappeared.
Derek rescued Sean from his obvious discomfort by ushering the group into Reyna's meeting room. He made introductions, and they all sat. Tension simmered again between Derek and Reyna. Mindful of Reyna's command position, he aimed for a respectful tone when he spoke, acutely aware that his team was inside her compound, surrounded by her armed resistance fighters.
"Thank you for helping us find Kaylee." He meant that, at least.
Reyna glanced at Kaylee and gave a curt nod.
"You found her. Now I assume you'll sneak out of here the same way you got in."
"No, not yet."
She squinted at him.
"Why not?"
"You have a coordinated resistance movement on the ground. Intel? Weapons? It seems like the Drakkaran hold on Mira is slipping," Derek said,
watching Reyna's expression carefully. She looked as if she were trying to work out a puzzle. When she hit on the solution, she looked between Derek and the rest of the team, then pinned him with a cold stare.
"You're Alliance Intelligence, aren't you?" she said.
"Technically, I'm still in charge of the brand new space fleet on Almagest, Kaylee's homeworld."
"Technically,"
Reyna repeated. Derek blew out a breath and caught Sean's eye. The other man gave him a nearly imperceptible nod. Time for more truth-telling.
"My primary mission was to find Dr. Chris. At the same time, Lieutenant Commander Asher was assigned to assess the strength of the Drakkaran occupation force here on Mira. He'd learned the Drakkarans were allowing limited off-world trade and saw an opening to infiltrate. He'd also received separate intel suggesting the Drakkarans brought Dr. Chris here. Our two operations coincided, and we were ordered to work together."
"So you're going to stay to gather intel on behalf of the Alliance?"
"Yes."
"And you expect me to cooperate with you?"
"Why wouldn't you?"
She glared at him.
"The MLA has been fighting this war for over 10 years without the Alliance, without contact from other worlds. The Drax slaughtered us, experimented on us, wore our people down, but the MLA didn't give up. We kept moving and reinventing ourselves, and when our fighters died for the cause, more would take their place. We never gave up. But you did. The Alliance left us here to fight this battle alone."
She stood, her chair clattering over behind her. Derek watched her pace, his own body tense and still. The whole room froze in stunned silence. Finally, she stopped moving and leaned forward on the table, as if the energy had leached out of her.
"But if there's a chance, the Alliance will help us now. What kind of leader would I be if I didn't take it?"
Reyna introduced Derek to her second-in-command, Harlan Gage, formerly Mirren Military. A tall, wiry man, older than Derek, He had both a wariness about him and a quiet appreciation for Derek's combat experience. Reyna instructed Gage to give Derek whatever information he wanted. While they explored the weapons cache, Derek questioned Gage on everything from the number of MLA groups active on the planet to the location of Drakkaran bases to the illicit trade operation both locally and with off-world mercenaries.
"You've been in the military a long time, yeah?" Gage asked when Derek had run out of logistical questions.
Derek nodded. "I started as a pilot, first on Arathos, and then for the Alliance.
How'd you get into intelligence?"
Leaning against the wall, Derek shoved his hands into his pockets.
"My first assignment with the Alliance was mostly flying fighter escorts for high-level diplomatic missions and leading their protection details. Back before the Drakkaran threat, animosity among Alliance worlds ran high, and the political landscape was complicated. My job required some intelligence work, and I was good at it."
Derek paused, staring blankly over Gage's shoulder.
"Then the Drakkarans changed the game. They caught us totally off guard, and we lost Arendal and Delphus without a shot fired. After that, the Alliance went from mainly a peacekeeping organization to the largest military force ever created. Intelligence skills became an asset, and I was assigned to Horizon. The first time I ever saw real combat was here on Mira," Derek finished.
They fell silent. Derek ran his hand over the hard metal casing of a laser-guided rifle, his mind wandering back in time.
Horizon had arrived late to the fight. The Alliance battlecruiser Freedom was already fully engaged, outnumbered and outgunned by the Drakkaran warships orbiting the planet. Horizon deployed her entire fighter squadron, with Derek as a newly commissioned lieutenant commander. They'd done some damage, taken out one of the big Drakkaran ships, but it hadn't been nearly enough. He'd watched in horror as the Freedom and her crew of 259 souls disintegrated in Mira's upper atmosphere. Gage planted a solid hand on Derek's shoulder, and Derek shook off the memory. Within a couple of days, Derek had gathered enough information to contact Horizon, give the Alliance a report, and start planning a way off Mira. But an idea had taken shape in his mind that he wanted to work through with his team. He glanced at Kaylee, who gave him a questioning look.
"From what we've seen, Mira has the potential to launch an effective offensive against the Drakkarans. They aren't fully coordinated in their efforts, but the MLA is well-armed and has a reliable communication network. They've already caused significant damage to Drakkaran bases and troops, and they're becoming more strategic in their approach."
"I agree. We need to pass along that intel," Sean said.
Derek's knee bounced under the table.
"What are you thinking?" Kat asked.
"I'm thinking that aside from the shield array, the planetary defense is almost non-existent. There's no sign of Drakkaran battleships or cruisers in this system. Horizon is out there waiting. If we can locate the operational control for that shield and bring it down, Horizon could take advantage of the opportunity, punch through the perimeter, and provide air support for a ground assault."
"You want to stay and fight with the Mirans," Kaylee said quietly.
He gave a quick nod.
"The Drak occupation force is still dangerous," Sean said.
Derek agreed.
"It's a risk. The MLA would need to engage them in a coordinated ground effort and hold on for reinforcements, but we've all seen committed groups do more with less."
He could see the thoughts spinning in his teammates' minds.
"What are the chances Alliance Command will authorize Horizon to engage?" Kat asked.
"I don't know. We'd have to convince them there's a real possibility for success. But if the MLA backs the plan, I'm willing to make that case."
Derek looked around the room and then rubbed his hands over his face.
"I'm not sure I trust my judgment on this one, though," he admitted.
A decade ago, when the order had been given to leave Mira, Derek had followed it. He knew the Drakkarans had blockaded the planet. He understood that Alliance soldiers and pilots were being slaughtered, and he'd seen the Drakkarans callously sacrifice civilians when it served them. Surrendering Mira had probably saved lives, but Derek had never been able to reconcile the decision.
"I may not be objective either, but with our team and the MLA on the ground and Horizon in the game, I think we've got a shot at taking this planet back," Kat said.
"I probably shouldn't even offer an opinion," Drew said.
You know what I want. Derek looked to Sean, who he thought might be the only relatively impartial person in the room when it came to Mira. Tactically, it's a sound plan. Everything could go to shit, but everything can always go to shit. I'd rather stay and fight than abandon them. This is what we do.
Finally, Derek looked at Kaylee. Guilt ate at him. He knew what she'd already endured, and now he was asking her to stay and fight instead of trying to get her to safety. But they were at war, and he was a soldier.
We're here. They need us, she said simply.
Looking around the room one more time, Derek found resolute faces staring back at him. He stood.
Okay, let's go talk to Reyna.
He found her in the operations center and asked for a sit-down. She studied Derek curiously and then cleared the room except for Ezra and Gage.
My team has enough intel to make our report to Alliance Command. They'll either use the information or not, but we have another idea, Derek said.
All eyes fixed on him, intense anticipation, Reyna tilted her head.
Let's hear it.
When he laid out the plan in detail, Derek could see hope battle with caution on Reyna's face. He looked between Reyna and Ezra before finishing.
Mira will become a battleground again. Only you know if your people have the stomach for this.
Ezra spoke first.
There are Miran children who have known only Drakkaran rule. The Drakkarans invaded our home, killed tens of thousands of people, experimented on us. We have no freedom, no voice. Fear is our constant companion. This is no life.
Reyna leaned forward in her chair, palms flat on the table.
This could be a real chance.
I think so, too, Derek said.
Chapter 15. When Captain Donovan backed his plan, Derek knew Alliance Command would follow suit. A few days later, he received official word that if the shield array came down, Horizon would provide tactical support for the Miran ground forces, and the Alliance would send reinforcements. In Reyna's operations center, the energy in the room buzzed as plans took shape.
Derek, you and your team will be in charge of taking the shield offline, Reyna said.
Derek nodded.
We need good intel on the location of the ground operations and the power source.
Reyna started to answer him when Kaylee interrupted.
I can get that information.
Derek turned to her, his body tensing.
The Drakkaran, who took me, the one I escaped from. He'll know, and I know where to find him, she said.
Reyna looked at Derek, her expression softer than he'd ever seen it. He closed his eyes and ran a hand over his face.
Okay, Derek said.
He motioned for his team to follow, and they exited the noisy ops center in favor of a quiet corner in the mess hall.
Any idea on how to get to Karan? Derek asked Kaylee.
I think questioning him at his home is the only option, she replied.
Nodding his agreement, he asked,
Can you get us back there?
Probably not, but I met someone I think could help.
I want to keep our group small and tight. Kaylee, you've been hiding your gift, and I agree with your instinct, but we may need to use it, he said.
If I had to pick someone to trust, it would be Luca, she said, her voice firm.
Okay, talk to Ezra about borrowing him, Derek continued. Once we have more information, we'll have to plan as we go, but we'll definitely need arms and explosives.
I'll check in with Gage and take care of it, Drew said, shoveling food into his mouth.
Derek sat back, poking his own food around his plate.
You okay? Kat asked him.
Dropping his fork, he sat back.
We're about to start a fight. People are gonna die. I hope this is the right call.
We did not start this fight, Kat corrected emphatically.
But we can finally help finish it.
Derek appreciated Kat's righteous clarity, but every battle came with a body count, and he felt the weight of those lives squarely on his shoulders, right next to the bodies he'd put in the ground himself.
The Mirans are ready, Sean said.
Shaking his head, Derek replied,
Maybe. This is the right thing to do, Drew added,
pushing his plate away and crossing his arms.
I wouldn't want to live like this.
No, me neither, Derek agreed, sighing.
Kaylee searched his face, her silent concern brushing his mind. He knew this was the wrong time for self-doubt and second guesses. He'd helped put something in motion, and he needed to focus on making it work. He shook off his dark thoughts and stood, nodding at his friends. "Get some rest. See you back here in 8 hours." Derek took Kaylee back to their semi-private cot and stretched out next to her. She rested her head on his chest, and he breathed in the familiar scent of her hair. "Are we going to have to kill Karan?" she asked. He stiffened, knowing she was thinking about another interrogation on another world. When they'd finished with the man, maybe Derek could have handed him off to the local authorities or found some other option that would have spared his life. But in those few seconds, he'd had to make a decision, and only one option had guaranteed that his prisoner wouldn't blow their cover and put the entire operation at risk. "I hope not," Derek answered. But he knew if it came down to saving his team or his mission, he would pull the trigger. Again. "Derek," she said in a tight, quiet voice. "What is it?" he asked, gently stroking her cheek. "I stole some of their experimental drugs. I used them. I turned myself into a weapon on purpose so that I could escape." Derek could feel her body beside his, tense and still. "I have more of it," she confessed. "Kaylee, no. You won't need to use it." She leaned up on her arm, her eyes feverish and panicked. "We can't fail." He didn't know what to say. She was right. If they failed, they'd be dead. Or worse. She settled back down, resting her head on his chest. "Who will we be when this is over?" Derek stared silently at the ceiling for a long moment. "If we're alive, we'll figure it out." While Reyna, Ezra, Gage, and leaders of the other MLA factions met and planned for a couple of days, Derek's team prepared as much as they could for their part of the mission. Drew found what he needed in the form of small pellets. The explosive materials were easily transported and wouldn't become reactive until triggered by a specially designed chemical detonator. He'd worn the ghost of a smile when distributing bits and pieces of his wares into their separate travel bags. They'd also been given free rein in the weapons locker, and now carried a diverse assortment of guns. When the MLA finished finalizing their plans, Derek's group followed Ezra back to his base of operations in the factory complex. They used the underground tunnels and subway system to travel those miles, and when they emerged above ground, they kept to back alleys and abandoned, decimated parts of the landscape until they made it to safety. Once they'd temporarily settled into Ezra's compound, Kaylee introduced Derek to Luca. Not built like a teenager, but not fully grown into his body yet, Luca reminded Derek of Noah, a Nevali boy he'd gotten to know during his time on Almagest. But Luca had a wariness and an edge that came from growing up in a war zone, rather than having the conflict thrust upon him unexpectedly. They found a private place to talk on an upper floor of the factory building. The windows had been blown out, and a warm breeze circulated through the musty room. Breathing in the fresh air, Derek appreciated the fact that he wasn't underground anymore, or locked in a damp cell. "Luca, thank you for bringing Kaylee to safety," he said, his voice filling with more emotion than he'd intended. "It's what I do for the MLA," Luca answered. "Find people in trouble. Bring them to Ezra. That's what Kaylee tells me. Luca, we need your help. Are you up for joining us on a mission?" he asked. "What did you have in mind?" Luca asked. "We need to get into Daksha Karan's home to question him. He's the man who was holding Kaylee. He's the one who took my teacher, made her take care of his kid." "That's him," Derek confirmed. "Why do you want to question him?" "He's a high-ranking Drac official, and he has information we need." "Something's going on, isn't it?" Derek nodded. "Hopefully something big. But it all depends on whether we can get this information." "What do you need me to do?" Luca asked. "Lead us to his house." "That's it?" Before answering, Derek looked at Kaylee.
Once we're in, we'll need you to get Marta and the little boy to safety.
I can do that, Luca said.
Luca, I need to tell you a few things before this mission, Kaylee said.
Luca looked at her expectantly.
On my world, some of the people can do things with their minds, like heal, or feel others' emotions.
Luca raised his eyebrows. Derek saw interest wrestle with doubt in the look he gave her.
Kaylee smiled. I know it sounds unbelievable, but I can do those things, and more.
Why are you telling me this? Luca asked.
Because I may have to use my skills on this mission. But, Luca, aside from Derek's team and Marta, no one else knows.
She held his gaze, her smile fading. And I don't want anyone else to.
That's why the Drakkarans took you, isn't it? He asked.
Derek was impressed by his insight.
That's one of the reasons, yes, she admitted.
Why do you want to keep it a secret from the MLA? You're on the same side.
When people are desperate, they do desperate things. During the war on my world, I was forced to do things with my gift against my will, she said.
That memory lived in Derek's mind, next to so many of Kaylee's, deeply embedded and almost as real to him as his own. She'd violated the mind of a young soldier, stolen his thoughts. The alternative had been a bullet to the young man's brain by their mutual captor, which in the end was what he'd gotten anyway. Kaylee had never really forgiven herself, and Derek knew some of her nightmares were from that moment of violence and her unwilling part in it.
I'm sorry. The people I know would never do that to you.
Luca paused and looked at Derek.
But I guess I don't know all of them.
Once again, Derek appreciated the young man's intuition.
Let's go introduce you to the rest of the team, he said.
Kaylee, Chapter 16. They took the last train before curfew from Solovat to Karan's district, dressed as locals, with weapons tucked under their clothing and bags slung over their shoulders. They boarded separate sections and didn't speak to one another. When the train stopped, they blended in with a crowd of travelers and met up behind the building.
Luca, we need to stay out of the drone's path, Derek said. Kaylee will be able to hide us from people, but her gift works on the human mind. We don't think we'll be invisible to a drone.
Luca nodded.
I know their routines. Follow me. I'll keep us out of sight.
Before they moved from the shadow of the building, Kaylee took a vial from her bag.
I'm not taking any chances tonight, she said, stopping Derek mid-protest with a gentle hand on his arm, she assured him. It's just a small amount, and it wears off quickly.
Pressing the syringe to her neck, she administered the partial dose. A now familiar, hyper-alert feeling swept through her, and the background noise from surrounding mines near and far amplified in her brain. Ignoring the sound as best she could, Kaylee created an image and projected it outward. Anyone looking in their direction would see only a dark shadow instead of this small group sneaking through back alleys and abandoned buildings. As they grew closer to Karan's, the landscape became more familiar, until finally they stood at the edge of his backyard. Crouched behind a patch of overgrown bushes, Kaylee could see the house, mostly dark at this late hour, except for one room. Light glowed from the window in Karan's study. She sat back on her heels and stretched her mind out over the entire property, listening.
There are three guards, one on the roof, one at the front entryway, and one patrolling the grounds. He's rounding the front west corner now. Only Karan is awake inside the house, she whispered.
Cat, you take the one on the roof. Drew, front of the house, Derek ordered. I'll take the moving target.
Squatting next to Kaylee, he dropped his bag on the ground, shrugged out of his overcoat, and pulled his sidearm from his waistband.
Kaylee, can you keep us all hidden? He asked.
Yes, she answered.
Okay, you three, stay here. As soon as the guards are down, move to the entryway. Comms on. Everyone find a position, report when ready, and wait for my mark.
The three set off, Derek to the left, Cat and Drew to the right. With little effort, Kaylee simultaneously shrouded the three and kept a delicate connection with the guards. Within moments, Drew and Cat checked in.
Derek's voice counted down over the comm, and all three took out their targets on his mark. With her mind still linked to the guards, Kaylee experienced a split second of sheer terror and blinding pain before the numbing silence. She gasped and fell forward onto her hands and knees. Sean knelt down next to her.
"What's wrong?"
"The guards are dead. Let's get to the entryway. I'm okay,"
she lied, stumbling to her feet. She felt his concern, but couldn't begin to explain what it felt like to experience another person's death as if it were her own. Luca and Sean stayed out of sight when Kaylee pressed the call button on the security panel at the back door. She turned her face toward the tiny camera mounted in the upper corner of the entryway. When the door opened, Karan stood pointing a gun at her.
"You've come back!"
A moment of blinding panic immobilized Kaylee. Memories of her time as Karan's prisoner flooded her brain, and she stood rooted to the spot, her body quaking. In the background, the hum of Derek's familiar mind tugged at her consciousness. She reached for him and held on tightly. Karan hadn't moved. Kaylee imagined pinching the vessels that carried oxygen to his brain. His eyes widened before he crumpled to the ground. Kaylee caught the door as it swung closed.
"He's down," she said into her calm.
Sean and Luca rushed inside first, followed quickly by the others. Sean secured Karan's weapon, and Derek went straight for Kaylee.
"You okay?"
She nodded.
"It's already wearing off, but I'll be able to question him."
"Good." He turned to Drew. "Get him secured."
Kat hauled a kitchen chair over, and Drew and Sean lifted Karan's unconscious body into it. They held him upright while securing his ankles and wrists. A few seconds later, Karan took a startled breath and opened his eyes. Drew moved behind him and held his gun to the base of his skull. Wisely, Karan sat perfectly still. At that moment, a startled Marta came rushing from her room, throwing her hand over her mouth when she saw the well-armed group who'd invaded the living room.
"Marta," Kaylee said, stepping toward her.
"Kaylee, what's happening?"
"It's all right. Luca's going to take you and Navi somewhere safe."
Marta's eyes darted from Kaylee to Luca, who still hovered by the door. "Let's pack some things for Navi. Clothes, his medicines," Kaylee said, touching the older woman's arm.
"What are you doing with my son?"
Karan didn't even try to hide the fear in his voice. Kaylee froze.
"We're taking him somewhere safe. We'd never hurt him."
She hurried into Navi's room.
"Pack your own essentials as well," she said, folding Navi's favorite blanket.
"What's happening?" Marta asked again.
Kaylee hesitated. She wanted to tell Marta everything, but she couldn't risk it. She hoped with all her being that Luca would get Marta and Navi to safety. But if they were captured, they couldn't know the plan. That was why Derek hadn't shared any details with Luca, and it was why she couldn't share them with Marta now.
"When you've made it to the safe house, you'll understand, but I can't tell you now. Luca is a smart young man, very capable. He loves you. Just follow him, and you'll both be all right," Kaylee said.
Marta still wore a stunned expression, but she nodded and continued efficiently packing. Kaylee found Navi's painkilling medication, the one she had used to keep him asleep while repairing his broken arm. She measured out a dose in the dropper and gently pinched his nose until his mouth opened. As he looked up at her, startled, she quickly squeezed the liquid into his mouth. Stroking his hair, she hummed a lullaby until his eyes fluttered shut again. When Marta was finished packing, Kaylee carefully wrapped Navi in a blanket and scooped him into her arms. His small body felt warm against her chest, and she felt his rapid heartbeat against her own. They walked back into the living room, and Kaylee knelt in front of Karan. She maneuvered the boy's sleeping form so that Karan could lean forward and press his forehead to his son's.
"Keep them safe," she said to Luca, forcing herself to stand and hand the sleeping boy off to Marta.
He gave her a solemn-faced nod, and the small group disappeared into the darkness.
Derek, Chapter 17. When they were gone, Kaylee turned to Derek. He was sure her pained expression mirrored his own. Running a hand over his face, he said,
"Let's get this over with."
Drew, who had wordlessly stepped back from Karan while Kaylee held Navi, now lifted the gun and held it to their prisoner's head again. Derek moved in front of the captive.
I need some information.
Karan's expression hardened. Derek didn't have to be empathic to know the man would kill him with his bare hands if he got the chance. Kaylee dragged another chair in from the kitchen and placed it so she sat eye level in front of Karan. She stared at him, and he flinched.
How are you doing that? He asked.
I've been able to freely access you since that day in the lab. It's like I found the code to your mind, she said. His eyes widened briefly and then narrowed.
You kept that hidden from me. Shrewd. You and I are not so different.
Derek watched Kaylee's face. She didn't flinch, but he knew the words cut her.
Shut up, unless you're answering my questions, he ordered.
Karan lifted his eyes to Derek's.
Here we are again.
The urge to shoot Karan made Derek's finger twitch.
There's a defensive shield network protecting this planet. Where is the operational command and power source?
Karan didn't hesitate. It's across from the laboratory facility. The ground source powers the initial beam. Orbital satellites are part of the network, but they're controlled from the ground. Take out the ground and everything goes down. He stared past Kaylee, expression blank.
But you'll never access it. The security system is biometrically coded. You can do it, Derek said.
He paced, tapping his thumb against his thigh, and then turned to Kat.
We'll have to take him with us. We'll need plans for the building. All entry points, location of personnel, security cameras, drones. We're going to have to account for every variable.
I don't like this. One wrong move from him and we're screwed, Kat said, gesturing at Karan.
I know, Derek said, running a hand over his head. Help us.
Kaylee's words stopped Derek in his tracks. She sat staring at Karan.
Help us. Because I'll make you a promise.
If we take down the shield and make it out alive, I will save your son. I will do everything in my power to find a cure for him. You have my word. Uncertainty played over Karan's features. Kaylee put a hand on his leg and leaned in.
I promise, she repeated.
Derek had interrogated his fair share of prisoners. He knew they'd broken him. Karan closed his eyes and sank back in the chair.
I have duplicate files of your research here. Take it all. I'll do whatever you want.
Derek should have felt relief that Karan was going to cooperate, but instead, he was unsettled by this sudden humanity his captive had revealed. Motioning for Kaylee to switch places, he sat down in the chair staring at Karan, this enemy he'd been at war with for almost his entire adult life, and felt as wrung out as the other man looked.
Why?
Derek whispered, his question so much more complicated than just the single word. In the heavy silence, he felt the attention of everyone in the room riveted on the two of them. Karan kept his face expressionless. He looked beyond Derek at some distant memory.
20 years ago, a star fewer than 30 light-years from our world went supernova. The stratospheric ozone on our planet diminished by half and allowed damaging radiation to reach the planet's surface. Finding a new home became imperative, he answered.
There were other habitable planets out there, but you invaded sovereign worlds, Derek said, eyes narrowing.
The radiation had already made many of us sick.
Then why didn't you reach out? The Alliance would have helped your people.
Are you sure? Karan asked.
Derek stared at him. If the Alliance had figured out who the Drakkarans were and where they'd come from originally, they may not have been willing to help. Most of that information had long since been lost and forgotten, but the Drakkarans would have had no way of knowing that. Karan continued speaking.
A few in our leadership felt we should make our presence known to outsiders and ask for help. But most believed we should take a healthy planet with infrastructure already in place and assimilate its people. We targeted 2 remote worlds with small populations. Delphus and Arendal, Derek said.
Karan gave a curt nod.
I participated in the planning and invasion, believing it was the correct course of action.
That decision cost hundreds of thousands of lives. The instances of disease in our population were growing exponentially. We've been genetically altered to pass along modified traits to our offspring, and our bodies didn't distinguish between the originally designed mutations and the new, harmful anomalies. We were desperate, Karan said. In your desperation, you turned Arendal into a biological wasteland, Kat said, her voice low and deadly. No, Karan answered. What do you mean, no? Derek demanded. Karan locked his gaze onto Derek's own. I mean, we did not turn that world into a biological wasteland. We made a mistake, yes. We tested a gene therapy protocol on the colonists, and most of the test subjects died. It was unfortunate and unintended, but there was no contamination. That world is under a level one quarantine. If you didn't turn it into a biohazard, what the hell happened?
Karan stared straight ahead. A muscle in his cheek twitched.
When the first attempt to find a cure failed, we discontinued that line of research. By then, the Alliance had received word of the invasions and sent a fleet. We met them with our own, and a standoff ensued. Our commanding officer was authorized to negotiate a peace treaty. The Alliance never negotiated with Drakkaran leadership, Derek said. An Alliance admiral met with ours, and we came to an agreement, Karan insisted.
This wasn't a version of history Derek had ever heard. He glanced at Kat, who looked similarly confused.
What agreement? We would surrender Delphus and move our people to Arendal, and the Alliance would assist with medical care and research. We agreed to every term, including reparations for the loss of life on Arendal. We were past the point of thinking about anything but our children's survival.
Derek's stomach churned.
But that's not what happened.
No. Karan agreed. Drew and Kat looked stunned, and Kaylee stood wide-eyed. Derek got up from the chair and paced. Only Sean seemed unsurprised by the direction of the conversation.
When we'd moved our civilian population from Delphus to Arendal, the Alliance fired on our ships, destroying the fleet, and then bombed Arendal until the planet was, in fact, a wasteland.
A stunned silence filled the room. Derek stopped moving. He didn't want to believe Karan, but even without Kaylee's horrified look of confirmation, he knew the man was telling the truth. When Karan spoke again, his face was devoid of emotion.
We sent only the first wave of our colonists to Delphus and Arendal. Once the Alliance betrayed us, we were united in a new strategy.
Derek felt like he'd been kicked in the gut. From the shocked silence filling the room, he knew everyone else was struggling to process the implication of Karan's words.
"That's not the story we've all been told," he said to Karan. "It is the truth."
Kat shook her head in denial. "No way. We're missing something." The color drained from Drew's face, and he dropped his weapon to his side. Derek knew he had to pull his shit together quickly. He looked around the room at his stunned team.
We will find answers, I promise you. But whatever happened on Arendal, it doesn't change what we have to do here. We have to finish our mission.
Drew still hadn't moved. Derek watched the emotions play over his friend's normally impassive face. Disbelief morphed into an icy rage.
This was my home!
Derek knew what the younger man was thinking. If the Alliance had the opportunity to negotiate for peace over a decade ago and didn't take it, the Mirans had been the first to pay the price for that decision. Derek couldn't allow his own thoughts to circle down that dark path. Shaking his head, he stepped toward Drew.
I swear to you, we'll do whatever it takes to find the truth, but right now, we're going to fight beside the Mirans because we owe it to them. We have to lock this shit away right now. Can you do that? He asked.
Drew stood silent and still, working to compose himself. Finally, he answered,
Yes, sir.
Kat hesitantly reached for Drew's hand. Derek vaguely noticed Sean taking in the scene. Something was going on in the agent's head. Now wasn't the time to ask, but he had to know if Sean could do his job. He had to know that everyone could.
Can you all do that?
Kat and Sean gave him tight nods. When he turned to Kaylee, she still looked stunned, but she nodded too.
Kaylee, Chapter 18.
Kaylee knew Derek wasn't in a good place. She was still reeling from Karan's words as well, but they had to move. The MLA, strategically placed outside targets all over the continent, was waiting for them to initiate the offensive. Drew wore Karan's clothing, a version of the Drakkaran standard military uniform that would hopefully help him blend in with the staff at the base. Kaylee, her worn clothes covered with a lab coat, tucked her last vial of neurostimulant into her pocket. Her stomach lurched as their vehicle picked up speed to enter the highway system. She'd been with this group on other occasions at the start of an operation. The tense silence felt familiar as each person mentally prepared for the coming mission, but this time there was an undercurrent of distraction, an inner disquiet they all shared. When they were within half a mile of the command center, Karan disengaged the auto drive and maneuvered onto a deserted side road. Derek, Sean, and Kat grabbed their gear and jumped out into the darkness.
"Stay safe," Derek said.
"You too," Kaylee answered.
He stared at Kaylee as if trying to memorize every detail of her face before he turned and jogged off the road with the others. She sat back and squeezed her eyes shut as Drew slid the door closed. Karan, seated in the front of the vehicle, sealed off the back compartment to shield Drew and Kaylee from view, explaining their presence at the security gates of the command center would create too much of a risk. They'd stay hidden until the vehicle was well inside the facility. In the quiet compartment, Drew said,
"Every time we leave each other, I wonder if this is the last time I'm going to see her, either because I'm dead or she is."
Kaylee reached for his hand and squeezed. Drew leaned his head against the seat back and stared at the ceiling. A few moments later, the vehicle slowed and came to a stop. Drew reached into his bag and pulled out a gun. Kaylee held her breath and listened to Karan's muffled voice. She could feel his tumultuous thoughts, the tension and sharp pain of emotional trauma lurking just beneath the surface. The only reason Derek had allowed Kaylee, instead of Kat or Sean, to accompany Drew inside the facility was that Kaylee would know instantly if the Drakkaran tried to expose them. But Karan kept his outward composure and followed the plan. Within seconds, they were moving again. When the vehicle stopped a final time, Karan opened the rear compartment. Drew and Kaylee gathered their gear and followed his lead. Winding through the underbelly of the facility, they were able to avoid contact with anyone until they reached the main operational level. There, Karan nodded brusquely at the staff, most of whom yielded a wide berth when he passed. There were no Drakkaran guards keeping watch outside the locked control room. The biometric security panel played that role instead, denying unauthorized access and initiating a facility-wide lockdown if it suspected any kind of breach. In fact, this was the mission's biggest complication. Karan had warned them they'd trigger a lockdown sooner or later, even with his cooperation. Karan placed a hand over the sensor. A second panel opened at his eye level and initiated a retinal scan. When both were complete, a heavy metal door slid open. Drew already had his weapon drawn when all three hurried into the room. Met by startled looks, Karan spoke.
"I am initiating a command override. Step away from the terminals," he ordered.
"Yes, sir,"
an officer stood and backed away from his post. The second occupant, a woman, also stood, but eyed Drew and Kaylee with open suspicion.
"Sir, this is highly irregular," she said.
"It is," Karan agreed, settling himself at the vacated control terminal and otherwise ignoring the woman.
Watching her, Kaylee felt her wariness and knew she was poised to act. As the woman's hand inched toward her weapon, Kaylee shouted,
"Drew!"
He fired. The Drakkaran woman slammed backward into the wall, eyes wide with shock. Her body slid to the ground, a crimson pool spreading beneath her. Drew turned to the other Drakkaran and fired again, hitting the man before he could make sense of the situation and draw his own weapon. The sudden violence gave way to stillness. Drew gave Kaylee a pained look and squatted down to open his bag.
"We have to set the charges."
He surveyed the room. Kaylee felt his mind calculating and planning. Gently, he removed six pellets from a container and placed them on the ground.
then unscrewed the lid of another container and rolled bits of a clay-like substance between his fingers. After folding a pellet into each of the soft balls, he pressed a detonator into each. When he'd finished, he stood and began strategically placing the small bomb.